Today on Real Radio.
If you say Jesus rose again from the dead, you know you're actually declaring Bible doctrine. But then your friend says, well, that's how you interpret the Bible. They've just inserted emotion. You've got to choose. Which one are you going to hang on to? Emotions are real, but doctrine never changes.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his topical series called You Need to Know. God's written Word is for our learning on so many levels. His attributes, His nature, His plan of salvation for His people, our sinful condition, which cries out for our need for redemption, and so forth. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with more in his mini-series called You Need to Know, all about the revelation of God.
When you listen to the most effective evolutionary arguments, they can't escape the word where they put, and this happened. Wait. How did that happen? Well, we have to assume. Or they'll say things like, nature. In nature, this is what happens. Take the word nature out and put in the God of nature. Think of it for a moment. Am I being sarcastic? I'm trying to. I'm laying it on pretty thick here. I'm trying to. Think. You have better odds in Vegas thinking like that to win. Thirdly, what is the purpose of your life? Why are you here? Where do you come from? What's the purpose of your life? In other words, how about this? What's the purpose of your consciousness? Consciousness is a miracle. Science cannot tell us why we have consciousness. They can scarcely tell us how it works. Consciousness. It's amazing. Evolution did it. You have more faith than I do. Aliens did it. Our God. Be careful that you do not believe. There is a great danger out there of committing deicide in our minds. Be careful that you do not believe. It's very serious. Psalm 14, verse 1 says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Isn't that amazing? Notice that. The Bible says, 3,000 years ago, the fool says in his, listen everybody, I'm going to listen carefully. The fool says in his intellect, there is no God. Is that what it says? What does it say? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. You know why this is important? God gave you a brain, and you're supposed to use it. And what your brain concludes and what your brain makes a decision on, in other words, the seat of your will is in the process of your thinking. It connects with your heart. The heart speaks of what you believe in life, who you are in life. So check this out. The heart is where the fool says, I'm going to bypass the intellect. See, people who don't believe in God say that because you believe in God, you're not a thinker. They say, oh, you Christians, you've checked your brains out at the door. When you go into church. And then when you leave church, you got to put your brains back on and enter the real world. Isn't it interesting? The Bible says the fool has said there is no God in his heart. Why? Because his mind, if he uses his brain, he will have to conclude that there is a design engineer that has made all things. He is God. He made the flowers. He made the air. He made the mountain. He's God. And the evidence is overwhelming. If you don't believe in God, you've got to exercise huge blind faith to believe, first of all, in the words of a lot of people, and you've got to tweak evolution like bad doctrines to get it to fit your world. You've got to take science and tweak it to get your evolutionary theory. It's a big deal. Be careful. That's not an intellectual question. You say, well, I beg to differ with you. I'm only stealing this argument. Don't tell me for a moment. I love all of you, but don't come up to me and say, I'm smarter than Isaac Newton. Newton believed in God, and he wasn't the only one. Think of it for a moment. It's not an intellectual issue. It's a heart issue. I've said this before, I'll say it again, it bears repeating, and you can watch it on YouTube. It's a lot of fun. Richard Dawkins, professor of biology, I think it's biology, at Oxford University. Smart guy, ladies and gentlemen, smart guy. He's an evolutionist. Across the hall is Dr. John Lennox, who you had a chance to see and hear, professor of mathematics at Oxford University. He believes in God. You got two geniuses. One believes in God, one doesn't believe in God. If it's an issue of intellect, then they would be agreeing. You see, one has a different heart than the other one does. And so you need to know what you believe. Be careful. In Romans 1:18, are you guys okay? You're mighty quiet. You all right? Romans 1:18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men." Why? "Who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." This is profound. Verse 19, "Because what may be known of God is manifest in them." The Bible says God has revealed his witness inside of them. Wow. "For God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead." This is what God says about you and I. "So that they are without excuse." Every man, every woman knows inside to probe, to quest, and to wonder about God. God's put it in them. Next, you need to know that the God of the Bible is immutable. The immutable God. What does that word mean? Immutable means that God cannot change. Church, get this down. This is a big deal. God is immutable. He cannot change. The immutability of God means God cannot change his mind. God cannot change his word. God in his very nature cannot change. Look, in a way, we know this about ourselves. You and I, though we be humans, we cannot change who we are, what we are. In the sense that I'm a guy, you may be a girl, you were born that way, you can debate that all you want here in California, but your parts declare that you are a guy or you're a girl. That you are, it's immutable. You can go through medical surgery, it doesn't change a thing. Doesn't change a thing. If we are like that in little, God is like that in perfect. He is immutable. He doesn't change. By the way, we need to be very happy about that. Because, boy, I don't want to go down another path, but I can name you gods that are worshipped today in the world, and they're constantly changing, and their worshipers are terrified because their gods change their minds, so they don't know how their God is going to react to them on any given particular day. They have to find out what sacrifices will hit the heart of their gods. Malachi 3, chapter 3, verse 6. God says, "For I am the Lord." That is the word Yahweh. "I am Yahweh. I do not change." There's no variability. There's no movement with him. Listen, everybody, you're going to need to pay attention where we're going with this. What God has said from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22 is it. He doesn't change. There may be times of dispensation. It doesn't change God's mind. He doesn't change. In other words, what do you mean by dispensation? There were Old Testament saint, age of saints, Noah, David, are you with me, Elijah. Then there's the church age, the bride of Christ, that's us. Then there's the tribulation saints, the tribulation believers that are going to come to Christ after the tribulation period, or I should say in the tribulation period. But God's truth then never changes. He doesn't change. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Somebody say amen. Amen. He never changes. What he has said, he will do. Thank you, God. Final verse under this argument, Numbers 23:19. God is not a human that he should lie, not a human being that he should change his mind? Does he speak and then not act? Has he promised and not fulfilled? Oh, he's awesome. He's immutable, meaning he's exactly what he was, is, and will be. Listen, his love never changes. His holiness never changes. His mind never changes. His promises never change. His word never changes. Now, you guys, listen. I know what I'm about to show you is going to shock some of you. Frankly, it just puts an exclamation point on this series. The founder of Hillsong Church, Brian Houston, made an announcement this week. And it's all in the newspapers. It's global. It's around the world. Go ahead and put that up on the screen. And by the way, let me first of all say, mega church pastor signal shift in tone on gay marriage. First of all, I'm still trying to figure out what any good has come out of the mega church movement. I'm trying really hard. I've been tempted a couple times to write a book on this topic. But I don't know what's come out of the mega church movement. That's good. Maybe I'm missing it. But all of a sudden, just because somebody has a lot of people attending their church that they can speak to the world and not only make policy for God, but change God's words? And the Hillsong movement has changed God's words. I quote, "The world we live in, whether we like it or not, is changing around and about us. The world's changing, and we want to stay relevant as a church." Okay? So what does that mean? If you read the article, does it mean, so we're going to stick to God's word because God is always relevant because he's eternal? No, the article says we have to change with the times. The co-pastor of his church, his wife, Bobby Houston, says, "Really? The church needs to come of age sometimes and just grow up." The article was all about homosexual Christians. And Hillsong says it's okay. God says it's not okay. Can you go into heaven saying I'm a Christian adulterer? Oh, you can't say no to that. If Hillsong says you can be practicing homosexuality and be a Christian and go to heaven, then you have to also include the adulterers. Well, you have to include the pedophiles. You have to include molesters. In fact, you have to include bank robbers. This is exactly why we're doing this series, and I didn't know this article was going to come out 2 days ago. The church is not to shape itself to a culture and what the culture says. The church, even if the church is to stand alone, listen, and I got a punchline for you. If you're having a hard time with this, don't leave yet. You can leave after the punchline, but don't leave yet. The church is to be the one who stands without apology on the doctrines of God. Why? Here's the punchline. Why? Because I can guarantee you this. It will be impossible, or almost impossible, for a homosexual at Hillsong to get saved because they've been told it's okay. And if you love somebody who's dying of cancer, you tell them you need to take your meds or you need to have some surgery. If you know somebody who is a liar and they don't know God, you need to tell them, listen, I love you. God says no liar will inherit the kingdom of heaven. Dude, you got to repent, man. You got to come to Christ. Are you going to go up to somebody who's sleeping with your wife and say, hey, it's okay? Really, it's okay. God loves everybody. It's, you know, it's all right. And I know you're just expressing what you feel on the inside. And I know the Bible says no adulterer is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. But for you, it's a different group for you. You're okay. We're going to change our doctrine to go with the times. And you've just condemned that person to hell. Don't get all huffy and puffy or whatever. Up in a huff or a puff. Because, listen, my life, homosexuality was not a temptation in my life. But I just thought girls were just about the most amazing thing ever created on the planet. And until I met Jesus, I thought, this is how you spend your time. And I heard in a sermon that fornicators will not go to heaven. I heard that with my own ears. Did I file a lawsuit against Greg Laurie when he said that? Did I pick it out in front of the church saying he offended me? In an instant, I was convicted by God, and I knew there's a kaleidoscope in my mind of images and people. And not only did I sense my guilt, but I felt as though I had defrauded all of them. And I'm the one who cried out, "What must I do to be saved?" So don't think I'm picking on some particular group that happens to be acceptable by the culture. God is holy, and you and I will not meet him without his holiness, but we are unholy. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. What am I to do? What are we to do when we wake up to the fact that we can't make it from here to there? We hear the gospel when Jesus steps in and says, "Listen, listen, you just believe on me." When he says believe on me, he's saying believe that I've died for all of your sins at the cross. And the moment you do that, I will give you my righteousness. I will remove all guilt from you and shame. I will give you a new hunger and a new passion and a new reason for living. And you'll have a clear mind, and your body will be dedicated to me now. And watch what I do with your life. Everything of the old becomes gone away, and everything of the new becomes me in you. And I'm gonna make you live now. And the moment that happens, listen, that happens for the liar, that happens for the adulterer, that happens for the homosexual, that happens to the drunk, it happens to the fornicator. All of us. But the moment I pat somebody on the back because I've adopted doctrines of demons and false doctrine, I'm actually just causing them to feel a little psychologically better. And as they sit in the church, they just continue on right straight to hell. And I believe God is announcing these are the words and these are the doctrines of idol shepherds and false shepherds in the last days. Very serious business. And the only way, listen, this, how strong I am about this is not my strength. You see, you're very passionate about this because this is Bible doctrine. And listen, watch this. It will fly up against, if you're resisting Bible doctrine, it's because you have an emotionally based theology, not biblical. Do you make your decisions based on emotions? I'm curious. Because doctrine is so important. In fact, let me be very naked and open with you right now. The reason why I'm so big on doctrine, by the staff knows this, the pastors know this here, because I'm always bugging them about doctrine. We get together on Tuesdays, it's all about doctrine. Why? Because when I grew up, I had nothing stable in life. I mean, don't get me wrong. I lived in a home. My parents loved me. It was a non-Christian home, but they loved me their way. But I didn't know stability until I heard about Jesus Christ and then got into his word. For the first time in life, found something you can stand on. It's not going to change on you. Emotions, if you're honest, have gotten the best of you in life. Why did you say what you said? Was it based upon truth or was it based upon your emotions? The person you married or fell in love with or whatever it is it based upon your feelings or your emotions? Only you can answer this question. Or your emotions, which are feelings, and I'm not discounting feelings, or did you make that decision based upon reason? If you attack Bible doctrine, then you and I, my friends, have nothing. If you say Jesus rose again from the dead, you know you're actually declaring Bible doctrine. But then your friend says, well, that's how you interpret the Bible. They've just inserted emotion. You've got to choose. Which one are you going to hang on to? Emotions are real, but doctrine never changes. God never changes. What are you hanging on to right now? I see this example. If you and I are down at the beach, how many of you have a cat? Raise your hand if you have a cat. Okay, this is going to... Raise your hand if you have a dog. Oh, people, look around. Listen, here's the deal. I'm joking, of course. But if you're at the beach and you throw the ball out into the water and your golden retriever jumps out into the ocean and he's swimming out there to go get that ball, and your dog, you see your dog starting to drown. But you see a human out in the water drowning also. You're going to have to choose. You can only save one. Which one are you going to save? Now watch this. Your emotions are going to say, I'm going to save my dog. That's what your emotions will say. I guarantee you, that's what your emotions will say. But if you understand Bible doctrine, you'll save the person. Did you hear that? Some of you are going, oh, shoot. You've already been polluted by false doctrine. Your dog is drowning, but there's another human being drowning. Who are you going to save? Your emotions will save the dog. But your values, your doctrine will save the human. One's more important than the other. Your emotions say, my dog's more important. But your values say the human is more important. You see, because they've been created in the image of God. You see, do you see a little bit now about doctrine? You may feel one way about something. So do I. I'm not an automaton. I'm not a robot. You bring a topic to me. Well, this issue, and my feelings, my feelings want to answer you by saying, it's okay. You can, you're a poor thing. You've been rejected all your life, and you just told me a moment ago you only feel accepted when you're in the arms of some person that in sex that you meet up with every other week, and that's how you feel wanted. My heart goes out to you. But the Bible says, I thank God. You know, a lot of people, this church would be a lot bigger than what it is if I would answer people in the foyer with this answer. When they ask me questions and I say, just do whatever your heart leads you to do. This place would be packed. He teaches us to follow our hearts. Look, if I ever say that out there, know that I'm having a stroke and you should call 911. Okay? Bible doctrine, ladies and gentlemen. Bible doctrine. That's our life. That's our life.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called You Need to Know, all about the revelation of God. It's a look at those scripture passages that give us insight into the essentials of our faith. It's part of Pastor Jack's topical series called You Need to Know. And we'll continue with more of You Need to Know on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, last week we just wrapped up Pastor Jack's fascinating verse-by-verse series through 2 Corinthians. Now, we've had a lot of Real Radio listeners getting in touch by phone and emailing, asking about it, so we want to do something for you. Here's our offer. For your gift of any amount to Real Radio, we'll send you all the MP3s of the entire series on one USB drive. Let me say that again. We'll send you all of the MP3s of the entire series of 2 Corinthians, all on one USB drive, for your gift of any amount to Real Radio. Call, click, or write. Just mention it by name. 2 Corinthians on a USB drive. Just visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and we've made it real easy for you to take it from there. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can send your contribution to our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.